and welcome to our broadcast. We're looking today in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We will try to make it plain and we will try to make it simple. And 2 Timothy and Titus as well are what I call the local church manual that God has given to us to tell us how we ought to run things, in especially in an age of apostasy within our local churches. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it starts out saying, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, Paul was writing to Timothy, who is the pastor of the church there at Ephesus, and he was commanded to keep the fact of the apostasy before the congregation so they could guard against the false doctrine and the false philosophies that were flooding into the church and always do flood into the church when apostasy prevails. Timothy was commanded to warn about the characteristics of apostasy and to warn about the apostates who were promoting it. As the pastor, he was to guard against being influenced by the promoters of error and publicly expose those who erred. He also had the responsibility to teach the church members about that which was profitable. And so again, our verse starts in this chapter with, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." He speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. When it talks about departing from the faith, it's talking about departing from the body of truth or the doctrines within the Word of God. And so they had to be there if they're going to depart from them, and they're going to depart, and they're going to be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, a close study of the Bible phrase, the last days, or latter years, or latter time, these phrases seem to represent the period beginning with the rebirth of Israel through to the millennium. And that was, of course, about 1948, and that is when apostasy began to flood into our churches and people began to depart from what they used to believe and promote for the previous 2,000 years. It seems around that time, 1948, that the floodgates seemed to open up and the apostasy came in. The scriptures give us a very explicit events that will happen during that specific time. And one of the things it says is some shall depart from the faith. Now, one of the major rules of Bible study is to always keep the interpretation of scripture within the context. Paul's purpose in writing to the pastor at Ephesus was that he might know how he ought to behave himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. That is the key verse in this book. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, the word depart here not only means to remove, it also carries the idea of instigating a revolt. As previously mentioned, the words "the faith" here have to do with the system by which we do the work of the Lord in the dispensation of the local church age. Now, when Paul said, "In the latter times some shall depart from the faith," it seemed very probable that he was referring to the fact that they would be departing from, as he said in 1 Timothy 3:15, the pillar and ground of the truth, which is the local church. And then it seems like shortly after 1948 that thousands upon thousands of parachurch ministries came in and helped in a great way to usher in the apostasy of our day. God's program is the local church, period. That's his program. Now, in the 1 and 2 Timothy, I have a little thing I put in several articles before when God sums it up. S-O-M-E-S, sums it up. It says in 1 Timothy 1 and 3, some were teaching false doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:6, some turned aside unto vain jangling. 1:19, some made shipwreck. 4:1, some departed from the faith. 5:15, some turned aside after Satan. 5:24, some sinned openly. And also in that verse, it says some sinned secretly. And then in 1 Timothy 6:10, some coveted after money. In 2 Timothy 5:24, it says some erred concerning the faith. And then in 2 Timothy 2:18, some had their faith overthrown. And then in 2:20, it says some were vessels to honor. And thank God, it says some were vessels to honor. But isn't it interesting, out of that whole group, most of them didn't make it. Let us never forget, though, to appreciate those who are vessels to honor. However, when God sums it up, we see the majority of people would not be listening to the pastor who preached the word of God in the age of apostasy. It says some shall depart. Well, where will they go? First of all, we need to understand it says some shall depart from the faith. It's not saying some shall depart from the local church. We have all kinds of pastors who are very much involved in the ministry and church leaders in parachurch organizations today. They have not departed from the ministry. They have departed from the faith. They have departed from the faith. Where will they go? Well, it says here that they'll go after their own lusts or desires, the word actually means. They will go after their own desires, and they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned unto fables. They will not accept sound doctrine anymore. Sound doctrine is doctrine without mixture. And this verse speaks of their lusts. The word simply means desires, and lust is a strong word here. And the majority of church members in our fundamental Baptist churches desire to be in a church that they can sit and do nothing. It is a fact that less than 10% of the members in fundamental churches do all the work. Now, some pastors will allow those who desire to have no commitment to the work of the Lord to join the local church and feel quite comfortable calling themselves fundamentalists as long as they keep putting a check on the plate every week. Is it any wonder that we're losing our young people in our churches the way we are? If the pastor deals with the problem of complacency, most complacent members will just leave. We read, they will heap to themselves teachers. The word heap refers to accumulating a large number. The word teacher here does not mean to preach. Preaching demands a decision. The verse goes on to say they will heap teachers to themselves because they have itching ears. These people will go from church to church and from seminar to seminar or wherever they can go, seeking to hear only those things they desire to hear. And they will not listen to what they do not want to hear. And they will not listen to preaching because preaching demands a decision. Teaching demands nothing. And so they'll heap to themselves teachers. Well, they come and they go. If everyone who has come to our church here in Sarnia, Fairhaven's Baptist Church, which I have pastored for the last nearly 20 years, if they were still with us, we would have well over 300, maybe 400 in attendance. But most of them loved the preaching when they first came. They loved the singing. They loved the fact we use the King James Bible. They loved the respect our young people have and the spirit of the meetings. And they even liked the pastor. But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us, 1 John 2:19. Not one person who has left over the years has come to me with a viable scripture to support their reason for leaving. Not one. They just don't want to hear what we're preaching anymore because we demand what every pastor used to demand back in 1945. They just don't want that. The pastor today who is pastoring and determining to stay true to the Word of God needs to get it in his head that it was prophesied 2,000 years ago that in the last days people weren't going to listen to the truth anymore. we think that crowds is a success, but that's not what the Bible teaches us. If you look in Matthew 4 and 25, Jesus had great multitudes following him. In 8 and 1, great multitudes. And again in 12 and 15 of Matthew, great multitudes followed. 13 and 2, great multitudes gathered. 15 and 30, great multitudes came unto him. Matthew 19 and 2, great multitudes came. Luke 5 and 15, great multitudes came together to hear him. Luke 12 and 1, an innumerable multitude came. Well, in John chapter 6, it begins saying that a great multitude followed him in verse number 2. They traveled on to Capernaum, that is, Jesus did, and we read that they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And in verse 28, they asked, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Well, that's amazing what damage that one sermon can do. Jesus preached a sermon about what it really meant to follow him, and we read the first thing they did in verse 4 was they murmured against him. They didn't know what the truth. They wanted someone to approve their version of what they think the works of God is. In verse 66, we read, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." And in the next chapter, they're trying to kill him. Jesus did not dilute the truth to keep the crowd coming to hear him. The ministry of the Lord was no less successful after they all left than it was when he had all those multitudes following him. In fact, he would have been a failure if he compromised to keep them coming, and so will we today if we are going to compromise to keep the crowd out there, putting the money in the offering plate. If we're going to compromise for any reason, then we're failures. Well, we need to know the truth about parachurch ministries. It had only been in recent years that we had forsaken God's local church, and we have organized a flood of ministries outside of the local church. If the latter times in verse 1 begins at the time of Israel's rebirth in 1948, as we said earlier, it coincides with the beginning of our days of apostasy. Before that, for nearly 2,000 years, we were content to do things God's way in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. Not long after the birth of Israel in 48, we said earlier, we began to be flooded with these ministries that are outside of the local church. Now again, in 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul referred to the house of God, which is the church. It is very obvious that he's not referring to some invisible universal thing that we have manufactured in recent years. He is talking about the local church, which is the only kind of church that is mentioned in the Word of God. Paul was writing to a pastor. There is no pastor in a universal church. Paul was talking about the office of a bishop or a pastor. There is no office for any parachurch ministries. They are all free to do that which is right in their own eyes because they have no instructions in the Word of God concerning how to run their ministries. The pastor is to have his family in subjection because if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Chapter 3 and verse 5. It is impossible for a pastor to take care of a universal church. And then instructions are given for deacons in chapter 3. There's no deacons in our man-made, invisible, so-called universal church. And there's no deacons in a Bible college or a religious newspaper or scores of other parachurch ministries organized outside of a local church. We can have those kind of ministries as long as they're under the umbrella of the local church and under the authority of the church. Then they're scriptural. Just to go out there and start your own thing and do that which is right in your own eyes, there's not a scripture in the entire New Testament that give us the open door to do that. Paul said he was coming to the local church in the town of Ephesus so that they could learn how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is so simple, but in recent years, the last 50, 60 years or a little bit more, we just decided that God didn't know what he's talking about. Let's just start our parachurch organization. And through those gates, the floods of apostasy are coming today. Well, we're out of time again. Tune in again tomorrow. We'll continue this broadcast. We will try to make it plain and we will try to make it simple.